1 Kings chapter 18, preaching on prayer as part of the armor of God. Started, I have 3 points generally when I step up. I got to point number one last week, so I'm getting slower as I get older, I guess. But we're on point number two today, talking about the story of Elijah. And we will revisit that story this morning. 1 Kings 18, 36 through 39. If you're using a Pew Bible, that is on page 413. And why don't you go ahead and stand with me, please, as we look at this text. And the Bible says, "And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, but that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up all the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God." Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that there'd not be one person here that doesn't recognize that God Almighty is the God. There is no other. Lord, we are looking at a time in the nation of Israel when earlier in the passage where Elijah confronted those folks and said, if Baal be God, then follow him, but if the Lord be God, then follow him. And they answered not a word, because sad to say, they had not chosen or they had gotten away from you. And Lord, I pray for those that may have drifted this morning that they'd be brought back. I pray for those that have never trusted you as their personal Savior, that today that would be the day where they say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior, and recognize that a life apart from you is no life at all. So Lord, as we look into this message, I pray that you'd help us to understand your word and be your servants. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Last week we said that God is sovereign. Say that with me. God is sovereign. Now, we talked about some passages of that. Isaiah 43, verses 1 and 2, it says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee." The message says, when you are in over your head, I'll be with you. And we talked about a drowning experience. And you may not be in water, but sometimes it feels like you're drowning. And I'll tell you, God is not apart from you. He is there. And we know that God needs to be God and God is sovereign, because as Elijah started to pray, he said, "Hear me, Lord, that the people may know." And he said, as he prayed, he said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, let it be known this day thou art God in Israel. Let God be God." And one of the great mistakes we make as Christians is deciding that we know better than God, or trying to tell God just how things ought to be. And there's a crowd out there that says, if you just believe and you say so, then God's going to do it. Well, you know what? That takes God off the throne and that puts you on the throne. And I don't know about you, but that's a little more pressure than I want to experience. Let God be God. Say that with me. Let God be God. You'll do well if you learn that earlier rather than later. And so Matthew chapter 20, verse 27 to 28 is another principle that I want us to see this morning. The second part of the message is God is sovereign. Number two, I am his servant. I am his servant. Matthew chapter 20 and 27, 27 and 28 says, "And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be the servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Jesus was the ultimate servant. He constantly going about doing what his Father told him to do. The title for a pastor used to be a minister. Minister is a servant. There's a great freedom in serving. We just got done singing one of our opening song, "When you're empty, when we are empty, you fill us." When we're hungry, you feed us. The servant life is a stress-free life. You say, well, how can that be? You know, one thing, we have a tendency to want to be in charge. We want to be the one that calls the shots. We want to be the one to tell folks what to do. Seems more elevated. But I'll tell you what, you want to remember, the servant is a stress-free life because all the commands, all the decisions, that's not your problem. That's the master's problem. We're just the servant. We're just doing the job here, just going through the motions. We just get out of bed in the morning, put your clothes on, have your coffee, read your Bible, do the job. That's all you got to do. Does it work? I don't know. That's God's problem. It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. I found this great success in just getting out of bed in the morning going to work. Just work your plan your work, just do it, just a servant. It's a stress-free life. Elijah was under God's care. And I'll show you how he did that. But under God's care, in the stress-free life, you and I don't go anywhere apart from God. We are his servant. When I trusted him as my Savior, he moves into my heart and life. Now I can never be separated from him. Nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. I am constantly watched, cared for by him. I cannot get, once I signed up with the Lord, there's no exit in this army. There's no retirement. There's no discharge. You're stuck. Too bad. I was born into the Griffin family. Nothing I can do about that. I tried to run away. I tried to do all kinds of things. Always ended up being a Griffin. I'm still a Griffin. I can disown my father. My father can disown me. I'm still a Griffin. Can't change it. You signed up for the Christian family when you trusted Christ as your personal Savior. If you meant it. This is a key. If you meant it, if you prayed the prayer of something like, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior, forgive my sins. If you mix those words with faith, there's no backing out. It's over. You are a Christian. Now, if you start to wander or whatever, if I ever got out of line, I'll listen. You know, they're all big on discipline now, and they go berserk over spanking. Berserk is my word today, I guess. It was the berserkers over here. They go crazy over spanking and say, listen, I was spanked, kicked, I mean, whatever, soap in my mouth. I mean, how cruel is that, you know? Funny how swear words tasted like soap when I was growing up. But anyway, so all of those things. But I'll tell you, why'd they do that? Because they loved me. You know, there's some, and what will happen once you sign up for the Christian life and you become a Christian, you trust Christ, you want that whole plan that he gives you, there's no wandering either. He'll reach right out there and he'll grab you and he'll bring you back. And I've said all that to say, you're constantly under the care of the Lord. You never leave. And so to illustrate that with you, I got my Wal McLean umbrella here. It's not raining here. Now, my father, you know, there's a crazy thing that you're not, it's bad luck if you open an umbrella inside a building, you know. I'm not too concerned about that. But I'm just saying that if you, now, you're, isn't there an ad for an insurance company that you're always under the umbrella? Yeah. Who is that? The Hartford. Huh? Travelers. We're traveling along here. So, now, this wouldn't necessarily be a good look to go everywhere with this thing, but it's an unseen thing. You folks are all under the umbrella of God's care. Oh, you all are, constantly. Not only that, and on occasion, my wife sits down here so she can hear my preaching. She's not in the room this morning because she hears my preaching 7 days a week, as it is, so I guess she, so, but if I had my wife this morning, and I could bring her up with, and she can be under the umbrella with me, because you ever notice that sometimes you're blessed by being around the presence of others? You can be a blessing to others. Why? Because if they're close enough to you, there's a principle that God will, yeah. Yeah, yeah, so do you feel guilty at all or anything?
Not at all.
Not a bit. Yes.
Not at all.
Yeah, yeah, well, I,
Here, I want you on my right. Here, don't move. Here. Now, see? Isn't this nice? Now, I'll tell you what. This girl is blessed being near me. There's no question about this. You can see how it's... Why are you breathing so hard, hon? Oh, I thought it was because I was here. I thought you were excited, you know? So, but obviously she's experiencing my blessing, you know, because obviously I'm a servant, God's watching over us, and obviously, and she knows the Lord as well, so I'm experiencing her blessing, and she would say that would be the greater blessing, but anyway, okay, I'm done with you now, thanks for being here, yeah, give her a hand, yeah. I don't know about this place, but anyway, we are under God's watch care. Elijah was under God's care. He ate from the master's cupboard. Now, what did he have? Well, the ravens fed him. Then when that was done, he went over and he ate meal from the widow that God sustained them. Now, was that what he wanted to eat? I don't know. But it's what God provided. And we get all caught up sometimes saying, well, I don't know if this is good enough. When I, in our house, you know, maybe social services will be coming, but you know what? There's what we have to offer. And if you're not hungry enough, you don't have to eat it. We only got one cereal this morning, and we set it out, and the kids looked at that, and Cody wanted cereal, and so here it is, and I want cereal. Well, here it is. Here's the box. I want cereal. What's he saying? He has limited vocabulary. That's not the cereal I'm looking for. I said, that's what we've got. We put it in a bowl, set it on the table. He didn't eat it, and I don't care. He's not hungry enough. You know? Elijah's eating some groceries that I ain't crazy about, but I'll tell you what. It's amazing how your appetite will change once you get a little bit hungry. Biologists say it's a funny thing how that deer aren't interested in buds and things in the wintertime, but their tastes change in the winter. And I thought, no, you moron. They're hungrier in the winter, and they'll eat it. It's all it is. There isn't some strange thing how they have a different appetite in the winter than in the summer. No. No, if I can have macaroni and cheese every meal, I'm eating it. But come, if that's not on the menu, and I'll eat anything else, and it's the same way. Whatever it is, you know what? God will supply. Say that with me. God will supply. If you're his servant, and you're signed up for him, he has an obligation, a duty, a promise. He said, I will take care of you. David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed out begging for bread. Now, does that mean that you're always going to have filet mignon every Sunday? Of course not. But God will take care of you. He ate from the master's cupboard. Not only that, he spoke at the master's command. He did what the Lord told him to do. He went here, he went there, he confronted Ahab, he talked to the widow. And then finally, he went back and he confronted Ahab again, and he talked to all the prophets of Baal, and he talked to the people of God. All words that he spoke that the Lord told him to say. As a servant, it's never about the servant, it's always about the master. And that's another great thing that's a stress-free life. It's not about me. Don't miss that. It's not about me. Now, I don't have a problem with any pastor that has their name on the sign out front of the church. I have zero problem with that. They recommend that you do that. We don't here. I don't care that people know that I'm the pastor. I don't think they need to see my name when they drive by. It's not about me as the pastor. It's not about Mark. It's not about James playing. It's not about us. It's all about the Lord. And I just have a particular philosophy that I'm not trying to promote myself. I don't care that anybody knows. It's all about the master. And I want you to see a principle in John chapter 14. This is more of a teaching message than a preaching message. That's the thing about the Christian life is, you know, very few days in life are exciting. At the end of the day, your wife asked me, so how did your day go? My answer, uneventful. That's how life is. For the most part, life is uneventful. Okay? On occasion, rarely, you have a Kevin Grant or a Wendell Calder or a Dave LaSalle. You have those really fun days where you're going to go, wow, that was great. It's not how life really is, usually. Usually it's an uneventful day. We're just servants honoring the master, going through the motions, hoping God will use us. That's all the Christian life is. If you signed up for this thing to think that, boy, this is going to make you rich and famous and all that, big letdown. Ain't going to happen. Not in this life. Now, the next one gets really good, but not in this life. John chapter 14, talking about the servant. In verse number 12, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever, here's the key for the servanthood right here. Don't miss this. This is a principle you can't miss. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, this is the passage that gets a lot of people in trouble. That all I got to do is say, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, brother, in Jesus' name. Well, I'll tell you what. Try that. Not necessarily going to produce what you're looking for, because they're missing the servanthood principle. And here it is. I own the world's smallest oil company. On occasion, I'm fortunate enough to have employees that haven't quit. Okay? Should I have an employee that hasn't quit, I can, as the master of the company. Ooh, that's impressive, isn't it? As the master of the company, I can send an employee to go to a particular store and say, go in there, and I want you to get, you can go to this place, I won't name it, I want you to get some hazardous material placards. We need some new ones for the truck. You go in, tell them you're from Griffin Oil, you get what your those placards, you sign for them, and you leave. Now, he goes in, and the placards aren't the only thing they sell. They got displays here, and they got new gloves, and they got hazardous material suits, safety glasses, hacksaw blades if you need a few, you know, all kinds of things. He could go in there, and he could say, I want the hazardous material placards, and hey, throw in a few gloves there, and I need some hacksaw blades for home. Nobody really cares. So they go get all that stuff, and they throw it in, and he's got his grocery cart full, and he comes home, and he says, so what'd you get? And I said, so did you get the placards? Yeah, that wouldn't be a lie. He did. Got a bunch of other stuff that I don't know about till I get the invoice. I said, this is interesting. I never saw that stuff. What did he do? In my name, he went and got things he was not supposed to have that I did not authorize. And so what happens in prayer, we are big on praying in Jesus' name. I think you should. But you be careful what you're asking for in the master's name, because he may not have authorized it. You're only the servant. You only get to ask for what he has asked for, because Jesus was the model servant when he prayed in the garden, not my will, but thine be done. He was saying in the garden, you know, Lord, I'd just soon not be crucified if I could get by this. Do you blame him? However, not my will, but thine be done. The key to getting your prayers answered is keeping things in priority, that, Lord, it's not about me, it's about you, and I only want to ask for the things that you have okayed. And when your prayer life starts lining up with the master's desires, you'll get everything you ever wanted and then some, because the master wants to honor the godly servant. How about you? But boy, those that are towing the line and doing everything that you ask, you can't wait. I love my kids. And on occasion, they'll come up to me and say, Dad, can I ask you a question? And I'll look at them, anything you want. And you know what? I almost mean that, you know? Because you adore your kids, and every parent feels that way. Now, the reality of it is, you can't do that, because that's not the best thing for them. Does that make sense? I think the Lord would love, absolutely love, to give us everything we ever wanted and then some, but he realizes that's not the best thing for us. I'm not fabulously rich. Why is that? Because I think money would just mess up my life. I think I'll never win the lottery, because you have to play it to win it, and that ain't going to happen. But if Ed McMahon is dead and gone, but whoever does the Publishers Clearinghouse thing now, if they showed up at my door and said, Stan, you've won. Well, I didn't send in. I guess somebody could have for me. But whatever, you've won and you've got $5 million a year for the rest of your life. I think my life would get so complicated. I think a lot of the things we think we want, our master knows we'd be better off without them, and we don't get them, and he's not punishing us. He's loving us because of that. Does that make sense? Elijah got up and he prayed. I am your servant. Matthew 28, 18 and 19 says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Jesus has the authority. It always bugged me. He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go. And I'm thinking, well, Lord, if that's the case, it ought to say all power is given unto you in heaven and the earth. Go. Why is it, Lord, you got all the power and now you're sending us? Well, that's not how it is. He has all the power, and under his power, he is authorizing us. Just like I use the King James Version, the authorized version. Why do they call it the authorized version? Because King James authorized it, or it would not have happened in those times. You and I are authorized as agents of Jesus Christ under Matthew chapter 28. All power is given unto me. I authorize you to go in my name and preach the gospel. You and I are agents of Jesus Christ, servants for the Lord. But we get to walk out here with a stress-free life, confident that we are on a mission that God sent us on to be faithful to him, to live for him, to serve him, to talk to him, to pray to him, to ask him for certain things, and he said he'll do it. Well, folks, that's not a bad deal. I don't know about you, but I like that. So what have I got to worry about? Nothing. That's his problem. All I have to do is get up. For me, as the pastor of the Cornerstone Baptist Church, I get up and preach and teach the Bible. Talked to a man this week, 93 years old. If I told you his name, you'd know him. And he said he just got back from the doctor, and they gave him a clean bill of health, and he does. He looks great. And I said, so you going to heaven when you die? And he said, well, I don't know if I believe in that stuff. I said, really? I said, what's the problem? He says, well, who's God anyway? I said, how do you know there is a God? I said, look in the mirror. He said, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. I said, it's incredible, the human body. I says, look at the outside. I said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. I said, God is obvious. And he said, well, I don't know. He said, you know, I've been in church all my life, and I still don't know. I said, where's your church? And he told me where it was. He says, they're running 18 now, and they're thinking about closing. He said, maybe if we had a sports field or something, it would attract the young people. He said, if we could just have we're thinking about maybe what we need is a field or something, and then the young people would come and be around the building. And I said, we don't have a sports field. And I says, but I said, we run hundreds on Sunday morning. And he says, how do you do that? And I said, well, every Sunday we just get up and preach and teach the word of God, and people come. And I'll tell you, my responsibility isn't to put up a sports field or do things that we hope folks will want to pay attention to. All my job is a stress-free job, is if I get up and preach and teach the word of God, I just happen to believe the results aren't my problem. The results are God's problem, you know? And for you and I, you're concerned about your witness or how you're sharing your faith or whether you're saying the right thing or did I pray the right way. All you have to do is live your life by the word of God, and he takes care of the rest of it. It's required in stewards. It's required in servants that a man be found faithful. Every day, just live for the Lord, and he'll take care of the rest of it. Some of you have shared with me how you signed up for the DVD of my brother's funeral. And we're so impressed at the testimony he had. And he did. No question. I am not downplaying my brother when I say this. You've got to understand. Yes, he was an ordained preacher. Yes, he was a missionary. But for the most part, he was just a mechanic that shared his faith, lived for the Lord, was not shy about it. And he died with a testimony for the Lord. And people were at that funeral that he had won to Christ, just working on cars, sharing his faith. Stan Griffin, working on furnaces, talking about the Lord. About that 93-year-old guy, did I say the right thing? Did I say the right words? I hope so, but you know what? The results, it's up to the Lord. God's the one that works on the heart. You're God. I'm your servant. I've done everything you told me to do. Next week. No, 2 weeks. No, I'm going to give it to you today. Sovereign, servant, submitted. See, here's the deal. You ever met a servant with an attitude? I have. Me. Okay? I'm the hardest person to work for. I get annoyed because generally I'm a hard worker, and if you're not working at least as hard as I am or harder, I think you're lazy. Okay? So when I look around and I see things that aren't done and I'm thinking that person should have done it, I haven't been with them all day, but they should have gotten that done. Now, maybe they couldn't, but they should have gotten that done. And I am not easy to work for. That's why they keep quitting, I guess. Whatever. Okay? Having said that, you know, you can be a servant and not be submitted. You ever get waited on a restaurant with a servant or a waitress or a waiter with a BA, a bad attitude? They'll come along and then hello, can I have this? And they act like they're doing, anyway. My mother used to tell me to vacuum. I'd get the vacuum. In front of the mirror, we have this, it's still there, there's a full-length mirror in the living room. I'd practice dying in front of the mirror, okay? Because she worked me to death, and I'd look at it, and I'd get this agonizing look, and I'd keel over, and I'd look in the eye, and she's going to find me dead on the floor, and she killed me. What's that about? Because I wasn't submitted to the will of my parents. I was fighting back. Ever fight against God? Ever push back? You wonder why he's not honoring you? Let me submit to you that you're not submitted to his will. See, there's good servants and bad servants. That you can be a servant. And you can be pathetic. Or you can be a servant submitted to the will of the Lord. And that's when you're God. I'm your servant. I've done everything at your word. Whatever you wanted, I've done it. And when you ask God for something, you watch and see. Mark it down. God's going to honor your prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us to be humble, submitted, God-fearing servants of God Almighty. Lord, this is a learned process. Paul said, I have learned whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Lord, many of us as Christians are still learning certain things. We're struggling and blaming and pointing fingers. And Lord, that's not our problem. You're the one in charge. We're just servants. Help us to live that stress-free life, obedient to you. Lord, there could be folks here this morning that have never submitted to the fact, never surrendered to your will by saying, Lord, come into my heart and be my Savior. Forgive my sins. They need to trust you, that you died for them and rose again, gave your life so that we could be forgiven. You said, you're the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by you. John chapter 14. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, oh my word, what a deal you're missing out on. Sins forgiven, home in heaven, a life where Christ is constantly watching over you and protecting you. And it's as simple as praying a prayer that I'll give you, mixing those words with faith and believing in the Lord, and you too can be a Christian. And he said, he'll never leave you or forsake you. So if you're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ, we're going to pray together as a church family. We want you to say these words with us and mean them. Be Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. Forgive my sins. I believe in you. Help me to trust you. Thank you for hearing my prayer. We're going to say those words together. We need you to say them with us and mean it. So Cornerstone, please repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Savior. Forgive my sins. I believe in you. Help me to trust you. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. We said those words so that they're in a group this size with this number of people, there's just about mathematically zero chance that every person here is a Christian. We want you to be. So if you're here this morning and you said those words and meant it, mixed those words with faith and believed, you're on the main floor, not in the balcony, but on the main floor, and say, Stan, I prayed that prayer and I meant it. I won't embarrass you, I won't point you out, but I want to pray for you this week. As you trust Christ as your Savior, say, Stan, I prayed that prayer and I meant it. Would you raise your hand so I can see it? On the main floor, I'm looking. Stan, I prayed that prayer and I meant it. I'm looking. I do not see a hand on the main floor. What about in the balcony? You prayed that prayer and asked Christ in your heart as your Savior. I'm looking. Our Heavenly Father, I didn't see any hands for salvation this morning. I hope that every person here knows you as their personal Savior, or perhaps they heard some things this morning that they'd not considered before and they're still thinking. God, I pray that you continue to work on their hearts and life until they choose you as their Savior. Now, Lord, for us as Christians, we are your servants. We are not the master, you are. I wonder if we're serving happily, serving joyfully, serving with that stress-free life. I wonder if we're submitted to your will or fighting back and not happy with what you're telling us to do. Lord, you need some people that will just do what they're told, be glad to do it, satisfied with your supply. Lord, we'll open the altar. We'll give folks a chance to respond. Oh, help us to be people of prayer. Help us to be people that when we talk to you, you're ready to answer because our life adds up to it. Whatever you want from us, Lord, is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Help us to be faithful this morning. In Jesus' name.